This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Family Time on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Today on the show, we'll be discussing gluten-free living and how feasible that is here in Kuala Lumpur. And joining me to discuss this is Rosa Maria Galvan. She is a contributor with Happico KL. So, Rosa, tell me a little bit about the time when you got diagnosed. I mean, how old were you, and you know, how did it make you feel?
I was diagnosed at a very late stage, actually, with celiac disease, because I was actually 39 when I was diagnosed.
39.
Yeah, which means my gut had actually suffered quite a lot. And the reason why it was believed I was because I became so extremely ill on one of my trips to Spain. I was lucky enough that I was with one of my aunties whose son was the first diagnosed in the family, and she saw all the signs there. And she rushed me to a hospital and told them exactly what she thought it was. Luckily for me, she's a nurse.
Okay.
And she has dealt with this in the family due to my cousin and my uncle being diagnosed. I had suspected it for a while because I noticed that being in Asia, we eat mainly rice. And if I consume anything with gluten in it, especially barley, because I used to drink a lot of barley, I would get nausea and headache, and I would feel really unwell, exhausted and tired after consuming it. But I thought, you know, it cannot be me. This is not me. It must be something else. I was in complete denial. And that's very common. From what I was told by a doctor in Spain and a doctor here, most of us, especially when we are diagnosing adulthood, we are in complete denial.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a bit of a shock. But I have to say, kind of saw it coming. Then I was even told off by the doctor who diagnosed me in Spain, because he said, you knew runs in your family, you have a long family history, the signs were there, you shouldn't have done this. So I have to say, it didn't come as a surprise, but of course I'm not going to lie to you, I was hoping it was not the case.
Sure.
But sadly, it was the case. Sure. So I just embraced it, and I thought, okay, I have to do my best, because to try to stick to a gluten-free diet, which I have kept ever since. Because if you don't follow a strict gluten-free diet, the consequences are serious, are very serious in the long term. You can develop colon cancer, osteoporosis. There are people who develop even depression because mm-hmm. it has such a neurological effect on them. In my case, on one occasion, I got gluten quite bad, and it affected me so badly, my vision got pixelated.
Oh, wow.
And that was very scary, because I was driving, almost arriving home. I was feeling the nausea. I was feeling the headache. I was exhausted. All my joints hurt, because that's what some of us experience. Not all of us experience the same symptoms, but those are my symptoms. And I had to park the car on one side. Luckily for me, there's a police station nearby. The police saw me, asked me what's wrong. And I told them to stay with me. When I was able to drive, when I recovered my vision, I drove very, very slowly. And then the police car followed me. And then I was allowed to park in the visitor's parking. And I just went home. I was so sick.
Mm-hmm.
And that's due to gluten, to being gluten or glutenized. That was by accident.
Sure.
So you really must stick to a gluten-free diet. There is no other choice. And there's no such thing as being a little bit celiac or a little bit sensitive, because you do get very sick if you eat it. And some of us notice the symptoms within hours. Some people notice them for weeks. And it really depends on how strong you get the symptoms, that you would notice you ate something that was cross-contaminated.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I just want to pick on something you said, you know, that it runs in the family.
Yeah.
So your children as well?
Luckily for him, so far for my son, there are no signs.
Okay.
Having said that, he has to be tested.
Mm-hmm.
So once I was diagnosed, we know that my children, my sister and her children had to be tested.
Okay.
I think my sister has not been tested yet. There are no signs. I'm not sure. In the future, they will probably have to test my nephews. So we don't know. But because I know they're in Spain, so I think the test is commonly run nowadays because so many children have been diagnosed.
Yes.
That is the sad thing. Mm. So probably it's an, you know, just an, as a normal checkup to make sure you don't scare the child, because it's quite scary for a child to go have your blood.
It's not
pleasant.
Depends
on the age, really.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, if you already know, it would, it's a good idea basically to get your child tested as
Oh, definitely, definitely. We have consulted with his doctors so far. Mm-hmm. We are supposed to run the test beginning of next year.
Right. Is there a certain age that you need to, you know?
No. Okay. In his case, he has not been tested based on his current health.
Okay.
And the fact that he's growing above the percentile and he's also quite strong. He's not showing any signs of anemia, malnutrition. He's growing very healthy. So far we are okay in that sense.
Right.
But the moment any of those signs appear, your doctors would test you.
Okay.
And we know it runs in the family, so sadly it might be there.
Okay, all right. And now talk me through, you know, what's it like being gluten-free in KL? I mean, are there options here for you?
Definitely there are. I know it can be very overwhelming when you get either diagnosed while living here or if you come from overseas and you move here. I know it's an overwhelming feeling. I know that feeling. If you ask, many of us would have even cried in the supermarket. It has happened to me. I've seen people cry in the supermarket because you want to eat that biscuit and you know you cannot eat it. But luckily for us, there are options, I promise. I know some people would say, it's hard to believe. Okay, first of all, we are in Asia. Mm-hmm. So let's remember, staple food here is rice. Okay. And most households and restaurants, when they use the rice cooker for rice, it's only used for rice. So that takes away a huge risk of cross-contamination.
Sure.
Okay. Now, you can have plenty of choices in the supermarket, both for the flours that you need or for the processed food that you buy, like biscuits, pasta, bread, you know, you name it. And then luckily for us, some restaurants are coming up with more options. In fact, now with the new trend of clean eating and keto diet and paleo diet, we have more options because those diets do not have gluten in the diet.
Yep.
So we are very lucky in that sense. And the other pleasant surprise has been that for the last 4 or 5 years or so, this is mainly ladies doing it, although one of the bakeries is run by gentlemen, have come up with products that are gluten-free. And this is due to either family issues, they themselves not being able to eat gluten, the children, or different lifestyle. Many of them are following certain diets. Mm-hmm. So they started baking it for themselves, and then they decided to sell it.
Right.
So we are very lucky in that sense. There is even a bakery that sells the flours that we get.
Sure.
So while you get your bread, you can also, you know, buy flours if you need psyllium husks or if you need, for example, sesame seeds that are gluten-free. So actually there are options. It's just that I know at the beginning might be a bit hard to find. I know I'm aware of it. But once you are in contact with other people, they will guide you. Because something about the gluten-free community is that we tend to stick together.
I was actually going to ask that, you know, are there any helpful, like, I don't know, Facebook groups or, you know, just groups that you can join?
There are. There is one that is in Malay, in Bahasa Melayu. Mm-hmm. And there is one in English that I know of. I'm a member of that one. The one in Bahasa Melayu was started by a Malay lady who follows it quite strictly because her son was diagnosed with celiac. So there are groups, mm-hmm. and you can ask questions. And honestly, most people are very, very helpful because we know what it's like.
Yeah.
You know, to go out or to need to buy something, to need to bake things. So most people are very, very helpful. And it's very common to go to a supermarket. And if you see people who are looking for the gluten-free section or in front of the gluten-free products, and you ask them and you're so, I know it sounds I know it sounds a bit silly, I'm sorry to say this, but you're so happy to find somebody.
No, of course, I understand. It's like, all right, I understand what you're going through.
Yes.
And we can commiserate and we can actually support each other,
yeah.
Of course, right? Yeah.
It is quite a small community. I mean, it's growing in the sense that other people are following the diet for whatever purposes or they've been diagnosed. So we do try to help each other because we know what it's like.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you were saying that there are, I think, a lot more restaurants and cafes,
yes,
are offering gluten-free
there
options
are.
As well.
There are several that do offer it. It's actually in the menu. And there are some that offer you the menu and they even the normal menu. And they say, if you want gluten-free, and it's printed quite big, mm-hmm, if you want gluten-free, please ask us. Or gluten-free menu is a different, completely different menu because it may have to be cooked in a different kitchen to make sure they avoid cross-contamination.
Sure, yeah.
So, yes, there are around 10 or so around. And even some of the buffets in town do offer it.
Okay.
Somebody was telling me there is this hotel that has come up with a new section. I haven't tried it. But she was telling me, she said, it's amazing, they have their own gluten-free section. And I was so happy to hear it.
Yeah, of course. And I guess, you know, the conclusion here is that there's a lot more awareness about this. And,
yes,
you know, I guess people are, you know, there's the support now. There's,
yes, definitely.
You know, and so much more options. It's not like a death knell.
Okay,
to...
yeah. Something we must also remember is that there are many things that are naturally gluten-free.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, gluten is not everywhere.
Yeah.
Like anything that is meat, vegetables.
Rice.
Yeah, most of the grains are, so rice, and fish, fruits. So all those things are gluten-free. So luckily for us, most of the things we consume on a daily basis are gluten-free. And then, so that adds up to our wonderful list because, for example, I can have chicken in my house and I know it doesn't have gluten.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
Or you can have eggs, you can have your, for example, your fruits. The only problem is that when you are traveling, you have to stick to fruits that can be peeled to make sure there's no gluten inside.
Mm-hmm.
Because if, you know, you, for example, grab an apple and there was a bit of gluten nearby and it got cross-contaminated, no matter how much you wash it, you're still eating the gluten.
Right.
So you have to be a bit careful, but otherwise it's fine.
Okay. And I believe in your article for Happy Go KL, you've listed all the different places, all the different resources that you found.
I did. Well, I have to say that those are the places that we know of.
Sure.
A few of us. So I knew most of them. Then two other ladies came up with two new places that we didn't know, we had never heard about.
Okay.
Honestly, if somebody is listening to this conversation and they have a place and they want us to add it, just go into the Facebook page and where you see the article, just make sure you put the name there and we will add it.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that appear there are the ones we know of. But I'm pretty sure the others are there and we don't know about.
It's almost like a fact-finding mission, isn't
yes.
it?
You
need, everyone needs to get in this.
And sadly, when I was told about one of the places that offers gluten-free pizza, I had to go and try it. So poor me. We sometimes have to go and be...
be the guinea pig.
Yeah, be the guinea pigs. But more than willingly, we do it. But yes, and... like I said, those are the ones we know, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So I guess if anyone's listening, you know, they can get to the Facebook page or they can head over to Happy Go KL to check out the article and to see all the useful links.
Yes. And definitely, if you have a new place, please add it there. I'm sure the editor will add it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Thank you so much, Rosa.
Thank you.
That was Rosa Maria Galvan from Happy Go KL. And as always, if you're looking for things to entertain the kids with, lots happening as always. There's the Ibu Jumble Sale, which is the best place for you to buy quality goods, mostly secondhand baby and children's items. That's happening over at the British International School of Kuala Lumpur on the 27th of October. That's this Saturday from 9:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. You want to go early so as to not miss on the bargains. There is also storytelling, Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. Last year, they did a great job with Macbeth, and now the KL Shakespeare players move on to Romeo and Juliet. And the 60-minute interactive storytelling is meant for 7 to 12-year-olds and includes some of Shakespeare's language and is designed for the young audiences to sing, dance and chant along. That's happening over at Menara Ken in TTDI on Saturday, the 27th October at 11 a.m. and Sunday, the 28th of October at 3 p.m. Also on the 27th of October, the book launch of Let's Try Something New. So this is the story of a little Sumatran rhino who doesn't like to try new things. So this book aims to educate young readers on the plight of the Sumatran rhinos, which is, of course, critically endangered in Malaysia with only two remaining in captivity. So that, again, is happening on the 27th from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. And the book launch is happening at Ilham Gallery. So also happening at Ilham is Ilham Gallery's Art Discovery Tour for Tours for Kids. This season's tours will take families through the work of one of Malaysia's most important modern artists, Latif Mohidin. You can find out more from the Ilham Gallery website. That's happening on the 31st of October from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. And you know, Halloween is also just around the corner. Do head to Happy Go KL and there's a whole list of events listed there. Workshops, events, trick-or-treating at malls across KL and so much more. And finally, the Kuala Lumpur Eco Film Festival is currently on right up to this weekend. Lots of great documentaries, perfect for teens. There's plenty of workshops for younger ones too. Do head to the KLEFF website for more information. So that's it for this episode. If you miss any part of this interview or any previous Family Time interviews, you can search for the podcasts on our BFM app, available on Google Play and the App Store. And of course, full details on all the events and, you know, and also gluten-free living that can be found at happygokl.com. This has been Family Time on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.